Father, I ask thy blessing and anointing, Lord, upon this portion. Lord, I pray that the people of this assembly might recognize their need to be informed about what is happening in their own nation and land, that they might know how to pray, that they might be stirred to pray. Oh, Lord, that they might have faith in God and look for the out translation and not put their hope in this world. That they not be overtaken by the snares of life and by these needs of life. And, oh, Lord, be entrapped by Babylonish ideas. But, Lord, might recognize we're living in a wicked generation and we need your help desperately. Father, we pray for our nation. Lord, allow the church time for this letting process. Lord, bear with us a little longer. Give your church time, O God, to come together, get delivered, and fall in love with you. O Lord, before you allow the enemy to come in, Lord, and engulf all the lights in the land. Bring your people together, Lord. Lord, help your people. Help your people. Heal the hurts in the hearts and take the blindness out of the minds. Come upon your ministers, O God. Lord, show them, reveal to them. Oh, Lord, send myriads of angels to your people to help in the hour. Break through, oh God, the clouds of darkness. Lord, we pray for our president. Give him boldness. Give him light. Give him insight. Give him strength, oh God. Lord, keep him from the befuddlement and confusion and pressure by the liberals and the devil. Keep his mind, oh God, Lord, to be used, Lord, according to the dictates of his heart in you. And I pray that you'll give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding and revelation. Help him, Jesus. Help all of those, O Lord, that run this country. We pray, Lord, that the Christians and the nation might stand up and not let the devil's people take over. Have your way. Bless this assembly and all your assemblies in Jesus' name. Lord, bless my mother. Help her, Lord. Give her mercy, Lord. Take away the pain. Ease the pain, at least, O God. Comfort, O Lord, in this hour, and help my father as well. I rebuke, now I want you to join me in this, I rebuke you demons that are hassling my father. In Jesus' name, making him feel troubled and confused and attacked. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, evil spirit. We command you off of him. I command you off of him. Leave him alone. Lord, send the mighty armies of angels to, Lord, push aside and bind those powers. Lord, we bind you evil spirits that are bothering him in Jesus' name. You leave him alone on the authority of God's word in the name of Jesus. He has been a minister of the gospel of God, and you shall not bother him in his old age when his arteries are constricted and he can't think quickly. You shall not come in and pressure him. And pressure him. I rebuke you, spirits of pressure. I rebuke you, lying spirits. In Jesus' name, Lord, comfort him. Send him angels to minister to him. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. This is the second of a series on the State of the Union. And by the way, we have out on the free table for you. Oh, right at the door. On both doors? On this door only. The Bill of Rights Legal Foundation 1984 Voters Survey. And what this is it tells you about the presidential race and also the Washington State offices, and has names of the candidates and what they stand for, all coded in numbers here, so you know who stands for what. This is voter information. We ask that only one copy per household or per family be taken, because we only have a limited number. I believe God's people should be acquainted with the laws of the land and should stand up for them. If God's people all go back in the corner and the devil's people all vote, guess who you got to run the country and guess what kind of laws you got? God's people should, one, know, and two, they should vote. And if you don't know, you know, how to vote, nationally, so I don't know all these candidates and so forth. Well, let me give you my opinion here. If you vote in a Republican president, for example, if you want Reagan in again, he's a Republican. What you don't want to do is load the House and the Senate up full of Democrats so we can't get anything through. So, see, if you want his views, then get in at least then vote in the those who would be most likely to stand behind his views, which is the same party. Now, naturally, there are certain ones of different parties that vote for certain things and certain ways, so forth, but on a mathematical probability basis, you're most likely to have the Republicans behind a Republican president and the Democrats behind a Republican president. So if you don't know, you know, and that's, and some people prefer to vote that way anyway, but anyway, you should do all that you can to slow up the devil's work in the nation and give God's people as long as possible to get in shape before the steamroller comes across the nation. Now, continuing to read again, and I want to congratulate all of you who turned your clock, that are here this morning. These are the clock turner backers, people who turned the clocks back last night. This first one comes from the Bill of Rights Legal Foundation, April and May report. Groups like the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, which my information is basically communist or pro-communist, and always, they, if you ever watch over a long period of time, is what these lawyers take and free a big portion of the time, what they stand for. They will jump on the side of anybody who is against the United States government. That's generally what their aim is. They'll take the sides of people that believe totally different than themselves, as long as they're against the government. They're generally trying to break, the whole thing is to break down the authority of the government. But they also attack anybody who's truly Christian. Those are the two things they do. Against the nation, to break down the authority of the nation, and against Christians. Groups like the ACLU and teacher unions, isn't that interesting? Teacher unions have fought hard over the last two decades for the rights of students to read obscene literature, deliver immoral speeches, write offensive newspaper articles, wear clothes that have obscene words or pictures printed on them. Can you imagine adults going out and fighting and spending money for the rights of this type of thing? You see where their heart is. You see what's inside of them. Just recently, a high school teacher from Bellevue appeared on KIOO's talk show, Newsline, opposite John Gower, a cooperating attorney for the Bill of Legal Rights Foundation. As the representative of a large group of like-minded public school teachers in her school district, she stated that she would allow children pornography into her high school classroom, irrespective of parents' objections, as long as she felt the pornography was appropriate. Can you imagine pornography being appropriate? Regardless of what taxpayers feel, the parents feel, she was going to decide on her own. No, many, of course, like her. They said, this is the new stand out here. It's every person for themselves to fight, disregard all laws. It's a total lawlessness out there. And so, like something, the leaders of women's liberation say, we choose civil disobedience. As far as I'm concerned, and now in the millennium, when anybody stands and says, I choose civil disobedience, that person is all done. Right. You're all done. Right. Don't allow disobedience. Right. She, like so many of our public school employees, promoted the philosophy of anything goes with the ever-common assertion that a restriction of any expression, material, or idea would amount to a violation of the student's constitutional civil liberties. In other words, you see, if this nation takes a stand that nobody has a right to restrict anybody from anything, as far as it doesn't physically hurt somebody else, we're in trouble. I mean, you've got bestiality and incest and sodomy on the streets, in the stores, in the schools, everywhere in front of you and your children. There's no escaping it. And it's already gotten to be a horrible place even at this point. And they're not through yet. They're not through yet. If the steamroller keeps going, you are going to see what I predicted some time ago. It's going to be a Sodom and Gomorrah right out on the streets of the city. Something, though, it seems to me that one nation under God has some responsibility to God whom they're under. And it seems to me this nation's got some responsibility to protect the people from tearing apart and the other people of the land. And see, this thing started with a few, and it's like a cancer that has spread. And finally, when the cancer gets to be the biggest portion of it, you cannot vote the cancer. Too many silent people while the cancer is growing. The nation should be up in arms. I really feel, and I wish that something could be done about this. I wish the churches weren't so... There's enough fundamental churches, if they would all really bind together in trust and work together, we could turn things around in this nation. If they just work together. However, these far left liberal factions have not been entirely consistent in their pluralistic claims. And that's what I've been telling you over some period of time. It's one side of the street. As it is becoming more and more apparent to much of the Christian community, there is one particular form of speech, one particular set of ideas, one particular group of students that is consistently being victimized by unrestrained discrimination and censorship. We are, of course, talking about the Christian student and the Christian ideas and philosophy. The Bible and Christian prayers are absolutely forbidden. And I mean, of course, publicly in the schools, you know, not silently, of course, but, you know, to come out. And Christian students are not permitted to meet voluntarily in empty classrooms on their own free time to pray or study the Bible. Now, that's just been changed. But up until just recently, that has been, at least in many states, the rule. Scientific evidence reinforcing the theory of creationism is censored. Conservative books written by Christian authors are censored by school librarians and teachers. Pictures of Christian student organizations are censored from class yearbooks. And now, according to the Eatonville School District, Christian students who write for the school newspaper are not permitted to mention in the newspaper articles anything that might be construed as a positive religious statement. But the other junk you find in there, they can be positive for transcendental meditation, yogi classes, everything but Christianity. Now, in a Christian land, that is pretty bad. Here's another piece of paper that comes from Jimmy Swaggart called From Me to You, September 1984. Reading in part, of course, and all of these. In the last few months, newspapers all over the land have printed their particular accounts of the Zoe Vance estate that was left to Jimmy Swaggart Ministries. Glaring headlines have read, "Evangelist has millions of dollars, so he doesn't need your money anymore." It's nice if somebody to decide for somebody else, isn't it? "Preacher gets millions, so doesn't need any more funds." Another one, "Millions go to Jimmy Swaggart Ministry so you can save your money." Notice all the soul in there. See, instead of reporting facts, they're trying to take it upon themselves to persuade the nation, don't give any more here. They decide this is enough funds. They haven't looked into his and calculated how much funds he needs and how far this will go and how much he's going to actually get. It's just an off-the-cuff blast, a statement made totally unfair. Totally, as far as I'm concerned, this nation is in terrible, terrible, terrible shape in the laws, in the lack of laws concerning the media. I think the media bears some responsibility to the community to have one, done their homework, and two, have some evidence of what they say. I do not think that the spirit of the law of freedom of speech ever intended to mean freedom of slander, lies, without any evidence, to totally degrade the people of America and tear them away from truth. The whole idea was made so that truth would not be held down. And in my judgment, when newspapers print things, specific facts about people, they should have a right to take them to court, and the first thing should be said was, "Where is your evidence for this?" And if they cannot lay out adequate evidence, the suit should be terminated right there with the judgment given to the plaintiff, and they should pay all court costs besides damages, and that should settle the matter. And in every case, they should have some substance for their claims. There's no reason why they should be allowed to continually distort, twist, take things, put it in, make them say something they didn't say, have no basis for the statements they make. We are in a terrible place because the whole nation is affected continually by such lies. And the newspapers and the television are constantly lying to the public. Constantly. And it's all the people have got to go on for the most part. Unless they're taking selective right-wing newspapers. These statements and scores like them have been printed for the express purpose of convincing friends and supporters of this ministry that we don't need their help. Of course, this could seriously hinder our work for the Lord worldwide. I want you to consider with me now just how the unscrupulous reporters in the news media have tried and are trying every way within their power to destroy the integrity of this ministry. The most vicious, fallacious lies that could ever be mustered and birthed in hell, and that's exactly where they come from, are told about this preacher, this work, and this ministry in general. You see, that's not surprising. I want to tell you, there will not be left in the land any minister that is really sold out for God that will not be continually lied and slandered against. And do not think that when you hear a lot of things about somebody, it means there must be some truth in it. That is not the way it goes. See, that presupposes that the devil is not in it. That kind of logic, well, why would they say it if there wasn't some truth in it, presupposes that everybody is objective, honest, with integrity, with no demons, and will report factually. That's what that kind of logic presupposes, which is totally opposite of the facts. Totally opposite of the facts. Rather, we should know that the devil is alive and busy on planet Earth, and he will not allow Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, or any minister of God who's really doing something for God that's a threat to his kingdom to go without infiltrating everybody's mind he can, every Christian dupe he can, and the liberals as well, with lies and slanders toward him. That's his business. Devil would fire his demons if they didn't do that, so to speak. Now, I said so to speak. Now, I cringe inside when I read the scores of newspaper reports that cross our desk on a weekly basis, and I realize that many Christians, when bombarded with this slander day and night, succumb to believing the lies. That's exactly what the devil wants. I am horribly and terribly disappointed at Christians, and particularly preachers in America, on this score, that they are willing to hear evil reports about other ministers of God, and contrary to the scriptures that forbid them to do this, they accept it and pass it on to others as truth. Terribly damaging to the work of Jesus Christ, unfair, and they themselves have had it happen to them, and they hate it, and then they do it to others. And if you don't like people to tell slanderous lies against you, then you should do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Am I right? Let's learn this. Anything you read or hear, you can read in the newspapers, and on the radio, and, you know, television and so forth, you can just about be certain that it is either partially or totally untrue. I don't recall ever having read or heard anything the media printed or said that was true. And he means, you know, completely. And he means that I knew about personally. And to be truthful, I haven't either. I have known a lot of different areas, but I've known at least six areas that I knew the details, that I've seen the media print, and in every one of the six, about six, every one was untrue. There wasn't one of them who were accurate, of the six reports that I know about in detail. And I wonder, concerning the terrible misinformation that's reaching the public about us, if everything else is reported in the same vein, if it is, God help us. Now, I hear this wherever I go. Wherever the ministers are being attacked, no churches, every one of the ministers always report, the newspapers always lie against them. So when you read them in the papers, you say, oh, well, I don't see why the minister didn't say this. It seems to me they should have done this. Well, that's certainly wrong, according to that account, which you've got to take with 10 trains of freight cars of salt. Now, that's per word. There is a considerable move by Satan in this nation to undermine the integrity of the work of God.
Right.
True, there are some wolves among the sheep. Naturally, Satan delights in zeroing in on those Judases who put a black name on the cause of Christ. But even beyond that, Satan is endeavoring to cause problems in all types of churches. There is a vast move afoot today in this country to totally regulate all churches, even going so far as to stipulate where the missions money could or could not be spent. It would shock you if I were able to speak of all the things that are in the works. But of course, by the help and grace of God, this anti-church movement shall be defeated and the spread of the gospel shall go unhindered. But it won't until God's people come out of the womb, till they get in right shape. It's going to get worse before it gets better. God's people need to pray. God's people need to come out of the world. That's right. God's people need to wake up and get integrity and begin to let God do something in them. The hour is late. I do not believe that we have ever experienced such an oppressive demonic power of darkness as we have experienced in the last few months. See, they're feeling it. We need to pray for one another, pray for the churches of God. Every time that you have your family devotions, every time that you pray, every time that you should take to pray for your president, the nation, your church, your pastor, your elders, the churches of Christ, the ministers of God across and around the world. We need to be praying. The spurious fabrications that some are telling that for every dollar you send, only 3 or 4 cents of that dollar gets into the field could not be further from the truth. And that's what they're telling about his ministry, only 3 or 4 cents. Now see, that they should be immediately hailed into court and say, show me where you have documented how this money goes and you know. And when they don't have it, say, then you are going to be hit because then you're stopping this man from getting millions of dollars. You now have a $3 million libel against you, or whatever you call it, judgment against you, and you're paying all court costs, and that should be spread around. So-and-so, you know, has, without any evidence whatsoever, should have put an enormous retraction.
Yeah.
See, this thing is totally, totally wrong and unfair.
Right, right, right.
The liberals are always yelling for, you know, what's unfair in the nation? How come they don't ever talk about this? They're the party to it. To be totally honest, with the great oppression and attacks made by Satan in every conceivable way, plus the financial burden, there have been times when I didn't think I could make it. Jimmy Swaggart. This piece of paper is Christian Legal Defense and Education Foundation Incorporation, which we are a member of, giving us opportunity to make phone calls to them as necessary and putting us in a place that if we need their help, there's a possibility of receiving some from them. A group of Christian lawyers trying to keep the Christian schools, and Christian churches from going under. They've got limited funds, of course, but they've got some real top attorneys. Mr. Ball, I think, maybe being nationally recognized as one of the best. What we wish to show is an escalating situation of state interference in religious institutions that indicate government attitudes of bureaucratic control are getting out of hand. Now, we ourselves twice have run into legislation, one on a national level and one on a state level, in which our Christian school and our Bible college was immediately in trouble. By God's grace, we came out of them both. But had we not, we would not have what we have today. We'd be in serious trouble. Serious trouble. Now, these people have not stopped. They're going to try again and again and again, particularly if they get their parties and people in office. We have here two states admittedly planning unconstitutional raids months in advance with very little regard toward the rights of the victims of those raids and with insufficient evidence to justify the raids themselves. State officials collected 112 Northeast Kingdom Church children on June 22, 1984 for investigative detention and virtually admitted they could not prove the children needed protection from abuse, District Judge Frank Mahadi said in a ruling filed Tuesday, June 26, 1984. Mahadi said the state attempted to hold the children ransom for information from their parents and violated state law by demanding that they be photographed against their parents' wishes. In his legal opinion, Judge Mahadi ruled that officials acted unconstitutionally and illegally. Now, I want to tell you, people in the know that this is not the exception. This is extremely common. The social and humanities sections, particularly of the nation and cities all across the United States, including Seattle, and I've already had several runs in myself with them, are continually pushing the humanistic, ultra-liberal activism, anti-Christ, and with an anti-Christ spirit, anti-Christian, they're pushing their views and putting pressure without any, beyond their powers, unconstitutionally. And it's happening all the time. All the time. And it's going to get worse. He said he denied the state's, the judge denied the state's rather incredible request because the state did not follow basic legal principles. Mahadi wrote, the state admits that there is not a single piece of evidence in the materials submitted that documents a single act of abuse or neglect with regard to any of the 112 children. You have to take them all ransom. Because the state was seeking a 72-hour emergency detention to an emergency. Now, this is real emergency. Not one of them had been hurt. To examine the children for signs of abuse. You don't have to take them away and spend 72 hours to check them over. All you can do is look at them and come into school. I mean, you know, if they're badly mutilated, you can tell. Wouldn't take me 72 hours to check them out. Our school could do it in 10, 15, 20 minutes or half hour. You don't take them away from the school. Innocent people, or they check them out. It sounds like Soviet Russia. Mahadi said, as this is the judge, what the state really sought was investigative detention. The theory is that there was some evidence of some abuse at some time in past of some other children in the community. The same, of course, may be shown of Middlebury, Burlington, Rutland, Newport, or any other community. Such generalized assumptions do not warrant mass raids by the police removing the children of Middlebury or any other community, even a small and popular one, which is one of the reasons, small and unpopular, with the county. I mean, with the county or the state or whatever. Because there has been some in the state, therefore we're taking this one group out, the fundamentalists, and we can do that with them. Well, why don't they check the liberals over and see how they're doing? Anybody else? Because there has been some. See, now, that if you're going to do that, if once that is a precedent, if any place in the state there's a problem, you can start hauling people out away from Christian schools and churches to check them, you know, brainwash or anything else, we are in desperate trouble. Mahadi also said the state told parents it would immediately release these children with no signs of abuse, only if the parents gave certain information to the police. Thus, not only were the children to be treated as mere pieces of evidence, they were also to be held hostages to the ransom demand of information from the parents, which is illegal, unconstitutional. When CLDF contacted Dr. Paul Weaver, president of the Christian Schools of Vermont and pastor of the Trinity Baptist Church in Williston for information, we found that he had been on top of the situation even prior to the raid. He had made an independent investigation of the admittedly communal cult in Island Pond. Now, he himself had, see, there was one little place called Island Pond, a little group of people, unusual, which they heard reports of, you know, of children being badly mistreated, whipped and so forth. Now, that was not his church or school. So they come in and raid his school because they hear things about that place to see if they're the same. See, and you cannot, that is totally wrong. Totally wrong. The government does not have this kind of power. However, while disagreeing with their beliefs, so the pastor went out and checked this Island Pond place. However, while disagreeing with their beliefs and their attitude towards government, because they probably were, I'm guessing, that they were probably libertarians, which, you know, type, which believed government should not have the power, we were under God, that type of thing. And that's just a guess. He found them to be decent, mild, and quite cooperative. I quote from Dr. Weaver's letter to his association members, quote, Judge Mahadi has ruled in favor of the parents in this matter, indicating the state has overstepped its constitutional and legal bonds. Divergent groups throughout Vermont have denounced the raid. Senator Leahy told me, had me testify before the state judiciary subcommittee. We have spent considerable time dealing with the matter before TV and radio. See how much time this takes of all the administration to do, just keep, and all the money and time just trying to keep afloat. I think we had just, let me get the next line here. I think we had just all better be more vigilant and vocal at this time in history. We may even find later that one or two families have abused their children in Island Pond. It could happen. He says, if you were to check out any group of 300 or 400 people, you would find some. I have encouraged prosecution of each case if the tracks were on such. But remember, there has not been 1 ounce of proof furnished that the allegations of defectors is true. I ask these questions. When disgruntled people leave our churches, do they always present us accurately, telling the truth? Could you believe, and this is one of the allegations, could you believe an allegation that a child has been beaten for 7 hours straight from the bottom of the feet to the top of the head? From a logistical point of view, does that even seem possible or credible? I mean, can you imagine 7 hours, this child, 7 hours, 7 hours, who could live that long? 7 hours. Didn't anybody ever question that? SOS believes any form of spanking is child abuse. The new state law, this is in Vermont, I think it said, the new state law prohibits such in any approved public or private school. No spanking in any private school, as well as a public school in the state. Contrary to the fact the Bible says, if you spoil the rod, you spoil the child. In other words, the liberals are saying, we will decide whether the Bible is true or the Bible is wrong. And that's what's happening all across the nation. We will decide what is truth and what isn't. We will decide if God can heal or not. We'll decide what is right and wrong as far as religion is concerned. That's what it amounts to. It amounts to a religious issue where they decide that God does not exist for the Christian nation, which is totally unconstitutional. As a matter of fact, this is the law in Sweden today. You cannot spank your child in Sweden. Now, the liberals, we're just a few years behind them here. How can one believe the state's claim to be credible when the information has been provided by two people who have publicly declared their hatred for that church and their intention to close it down? And that's what's happening across the country. They find somebody who is hating something, trying to tear it down, and that they believe. That is their source of information. When statements have been sent in to Dr. Martin saying, well, we understand that, and this also happens with letters to Enroth, when we understand that you're going to print things about community chapel, we want to let you know, and give you the other side of the picture, and let you know that you can't just trust those people who are bitter and so forth. The information in both cases have come back and said, well, you know, we got information from people that have been in the church. What's that worth? All over the country, when people get angry at churches and organizations and so forth, they go out and lie against them. And anybody should know that. Anybody should know that's one of the worst forms of credibility is concerned, is somebody who's boiling angry at somebody that is liable to be horribly twisted. It generally is. If we are concerned about religious freedom for our churches, in fact, if you've been listening on the life of Christ, you know the religionists, the doctors, the elders, the scribes, the priests, the credible people of the land were not what you call exactly balanced and honest and objective relating to Jesus Christ, a good man in the land. See? And this is typical whenever Jesus is in anybody. So Paul said that he had bore the marks of Jesus Christ. It wasn't Paul they were after, it was Christ they hated in him. So understand, Paul isn't the only one. If we are concerned about religious freedom for our churches and schools, we need to be concerned wherever the state makes raids with over 100 police cars on a non-resistant group such as this in Vermont, with as little evidence as they possessed. Now, I noticed that those kind of raids don't really happen when they're all uphill at these rock festivals, taking dope and everything else. They don't have 100 police cars storm in and take them all. A little tiny non-violent Christian community, just like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, send an army after him. Come in. And then look what happens out here in the land, who they let go. I mean, things are a little bit bad when the Christians are perceived as the dangerous ones. Our first report is from Dr. Reese Yandel, Executive Director of South Carolina Association of Christian Schools. This is the second report now. He said, let me tell you about a similar intrusion by the state of South Carolina. And I don't have time to read it all, of course. On Wednesday morning, May the 30th, the storm troopers of Colleton County descended upon the New Bethany Baptist Children's Home in Waterboro and proceeded to arrest the superintendent of the home and his two assistants. The associate pastor of the church appeared during this process and asked repeatedly to be told what's going on, which I think a associate pastor has a right in the church, representing the pastor, to ask what's going on here. He was also arrested for interfering with an officer of the law. The deputies moved to the home. They went through the home, confiscating any and all items that they felt could possibly be used in the, quote, torture, unquote, reported by a runaway boy. Just taking the items out of the home like it was theirs. You know, the home is supposed to be your castle. The solicitor later went on television and stated it was the worst case of child abuse he had seen in 41 years. And you know what damage that does to a Christian school? You know who else wants to send their children there after that? Or to go to that church? Do you know what the witnesses are able to do after that when they go out and say, I am from so-and-so Baptist church in a small town where everybody knows us? Oh, you're... No, thank you. Not at this house. Not my children. You keep away from my yard, see. This is the damage done. Now, what the boy who ran away and claimed to have been locked up for 4 days with no food had, in fact, never been confined. This is very typically and often the case. The assistant principal at Raleigh Christian Academy has been found guilty of child abuse by a court in the capital city. Although the prison sentence was suspended, they gave him a prison sentence, suspended him, and the fine minimal, this is a dangerous precedent for all Christian schools in the state. Brother Dwight Ostley did nothing more than carry out school policy in administering 5 swats for the paddle because the spanking left red marks, which eventually turned to bruises. The child's parents filed criminal charges for child abuse. Now, there is such a thing as people who bruise easily. There are wives who got bruises on them when nothing want of prison sentences. You know, nothing... What's what I want? Of prison sentences. Worthy of prison sentences has been demonstrated. In other words, if every husband was sent to prison for every bruise his wife got, we'd be in bad shape in this country. Honey, don't do that. Ah, bruise. Prison. You know. I mean, if he had been beaten 97 times, that's one thing. But 5 times, there's also the possibility that a person didn't know, you know, isn't the smartest on what kind of a paddle to use. I mean, he may have erred in judgment and used one that was too heavy. He may not have known. Or the person spanking him may not have known. And the administrator has to go to prison because some teacher if he did it himself, I guess in this case, but he's responsible, you know, in many cases, he's responsible and is in trouble too. But It seems to me there's a difference between what is malicious and what may be accidental. There are people who have been in hospitals, and just by the staff and taking them and being kind of violent and strapping them down and being handled and so forth, there are people just being handled by hospital people who have gotten bruises on them, and they don't send all them to prison. What gives the state or the county the right to raid a legitimate church ministry on the word of a young boy who has a problem with telling the truth? Why could they not have tried to work out any problem by talking with the authorities at the home? Efforts had been made by the home to cooperate with the authorities to any difficulty. Since first coming to South Carolina, the superintendent of the New Bethany Home for Boys had frequently invited people from the Sheriff's Department and from the Department of Social Services to come out for a visit. I had written the family department of social services to come out for a visit. I had written the family court judge about a year ago asking for his assistance and trying to come up with some kind of review on the program where local authorities would be satisfied because they're putting so much pressure on them in the state. All of these offers were ignored except for one meeting with the chief deputy sheriff and the DDS where they tried to force the home to get a license from the state. You know, you try to get them in to cooperate with them, then you know they try to force you to get a state license, which means you've got to fill out all kinds of papers according to the humanistic principles. While the operation has taken the traditional out-of-the-way fundamentalist approach, they have done nothing to offend local officials. They have tried to work with them and have gotten nothing but grief from the local officials any time a boy ran away. And, you know, boys do. My wife and I flew a girl back to Teen Challenge who agreed. She was in North, you know, put in home church, and her parents agreed to it. She was on drugs and couldn't seem to get off of it. We were new in the work. We didn't have any way to take care of her here. Teen Challenge had a good record. We flew back to Teen Challenge and come home. When we got home, she was gone. She'd ran away. What are you going to do? Take the school? It can't be responsible. You never know what somebody's going to do. In fact, we just had a girl just run away from a hospital up here in Seattle. What are you going to do to the hospital for that? They went away from hospitals, too. And psychiatric wards, they went away from those. From state institutions, they went away. All the time. It's not uncommon. If they ever get a chance, they do. They have chance. I mean, they don't really, oftentimes, I've been amazed. I was up in Harborview, for example. People who are violent and were in desperate trouble. Amazed how they could just walk out of the room, down the hall, and out the door and be gone. I was shocked when I saw the kind of security they had. In fact, the superintendent has on occasion asked the sheriff to just take custody of boys for a while who are going to run away, who need a little cooling off period. Of course, the sheriff's office refused to provide this assistance. So they've done everything they can to cooperate. And then they come in and raid them. The South Carolina law, the Child Protection Act, has been repeatedly violated by the state and the county DDS officials. The parents of these children were lied to. They were coerced, cajoled, harassed into coming and getting their children. All of this was done in a direct violation of the state laws, which says that once emergency custody is exercised on a child, the child shall remain in that custody until the court proceedings have been concluded. DDS, by sending all kinds of kids home through threat of force, has denied the parents and New Bethany of the lawful right to have this matter contested in the family court before the children were shipped out of state and out of the opportunity to testify in favor of the home. Even at the temporary hearing, the family court judge denied us the opportunity to have testimony from the five boys who were in court, all of which, according to the guardian ad litem, preferred to be at the home rather than with DDS. They won't even let you hear the kids' viewpoint. And they have shipped them away so they couldn't be a part of the data. Although I have not completed my investigation, it is my impression that 90%, and this is talking about Christian Legal Defense, this is, you know, from top credible sources I'm reading here now, not the Safeway rag, you know, that's up there, you know, that tells you people land from other planets and all kinds of stuff. It is my impression that 90% of all the children and parents of the children who were in New Bethany would, if given the opportunity, return their children to the New Bethany tomorrow. That in itself is overwhelming testimony of the worth of the program. It is, in his commendation of the slanderous and illegal efforts of the local authorities to close the school down. Although I'm not a prophet, it is my prediction that if this matter is not resolved in favor of the exercise of religious freedom within the law, then we stand to have all church ministries, including church schools, controlled by extensive legislation authorizing the licensing of all these ministries. And I read in another one of my State of the Union messages a few years back how that in certain states, in a certain state, where they had the social people out, you know, they did everything possible to make it impossible for them to continue on the ministries. You know, walk down the hallway and say, we want windows over there and remove these and put doors over here. And in other words, they made such sweeping changes that you can't do that to your buildings, you know. I mean, it isn't just that easy to change things where some untrained woman hired by them walks down the hallway telling you how to change your windows and doors and everything else, you know. And in this particular case, I remember that it was totally unreasonable. There was no reason to do it. When the facts were known, it was all stated. I read it out. Building had been completely redone by the, you know, according to, you know, fire standards and all the rest, and then condemned and all types of things like this. There were people maliciously trying their best to down the school. They have full of hatred. They're full of this type of thing. I had a woman came to my home that I was so incensed at from the social, went from the rape clinic here in Seattle, that told me that they don't have to have any evidence of rape to send that man to prison. No evidence whatsoever. All they have to have is the woman to make a statement that she'd been raped by that man, and they can take him and put him in prison. And she was justifying their position, and I said, what if your husband had to go to prison because some girl he never met but knew, so he knew about this person because he's a popular person and so forth, said, he raped me. And she, all she had to do was tell somebody else. If she just told one girl or some other person, all she has to do is go tell somebody a lie, and that person has to go to prison. And I won't tell you the rest of the story, but I let her know, before we stood, and I made her, I was talking to a certain person, I made her go outside and sit in the car. I wouldn't let her in my house. I would not let her be part of the meeting. I am totally against this type of thing. And I read a book. My mother gave me a book. This was many years ago, and it's much worse now. And Reader's Digest article about Jerry Geisler, a leading attorney on the East Coast, who was a leading prosecuting attorney of paternity cases. And he said, I wish that I could say that all of the men that I have put away in prison or got a case against, judgment against, generally the cases that he was dealing with were not prison cases. Most of them were cases of having to pay child support and so forth. I wish that I could say that they were all guilty. But I'm sorry to say probably not more than 60% were actually guilty. And here he was arguing and he said it has become a fad among many girls. They would take radio and television personalities, movie stars, or people, and anybody in the senators, anybody in the know, and they would then say, this man, and they find themselves pregnant, you know, and they've been, you know, slopping around the campuses and everything, and then they point to this man who doesn't even know them, never met him, and then they come up, then they have their teary-eyed story of what he did. I hate to tell on him, you know, and time they get through, everybody feels so angered against him. And so these men, when this happens, they're fired from the position, the wife divorces them, they're immediately plunged into trouble, their assets are frozen, they go through years of litigation, a year or so of litigation for their own money, and then judgment is awarded. Oftentimes, and many of them pay blackmail money to keep it, because they know what's going to happen to them. So they end up paying blackmail money to keep this from happening. While these people run around and do this, and a number of them have admitted later that they've done it, there's a lot more to it than that, but and he mentioned about in states where there's Jew, and this happened in New Jersey and New York, and where Jews were allowed, the judges were giving about 65% the prosecution, but judgment against the person accused, but where Jews were there, who were less trained, and they think that, you know, well, there must have been something to it. I mean, he listened to the poor girl cry, sympathy and so forth. It jumped up to about, I can't remember the exact figures, up to about 80%. But when she was allowed to bring the baby into court, which is academic, it was always established she had a baby, but when they saw the baby, the emotions jumped up, and about another percent, 10%, you know. And we're in a desperate place in this nation, a terrible place. We really need to pray. A couple more things and I close. The socialist government of France, and this is, the United States is right behind them. The socialist government of France has announced that over 9,000 religious schools will be integrated into the public system to assure a better material, moral, and social management of education. Those who have not taken government funds will not be affected. That tells us something. At least not now. All Christians should acquaint themselves with a socialistic plan in their state which brings almost all human activity under some state program. In North Carolina, it is called NC2000. It is an all-encompassing status merger of education, health, food, housing, business, labor, leisure, and culture. The New Age movement will try to come of age. Schools will be increasingly transformed from community centers into which there is a cultivated dependence on the state for all human needs. Christian schools and churches do not appear to be harmonious with the plan. Now, I applaud our president for trying to deregulate and cut down on the federal government, keep chopping it back, getting rid of it. The Democrats, a little picture, the Democrats have over a long period of time, through the and with unions who have been typically Democratic, and a number of them have been even started by the communists. In fact, you know, even in your papers, you see President of the Communist Party of America, Gus Hall, started, you know, the Iron Workers Union and so forth. They've started unions even for this purpose, and I've got a lot of information from that on that. I don't have to explain it all. There has been a constant push for pushing industry. See, pushing industry, pushing industry, pushing industry. More wages, more wages, more wages, more wages, more wages, more wages. Why? So they're forced to hike prices, hike prices, hike prices, hike prices. Why? So everybody not according to their iron-fisted unions saw, see, we better get in a union. Drive toward union so they then can control these masks and push the nation to a place where they cannot compete on the world scene. Which is exactly what's happening in America. Until America has, in 15 years, lost 50% of its industrial capacities. Right now, you see, Japan is doing most of the cross-selling in America, and Germany, and so forth. We only now provide 5% of the nation's shipping of ships. Only 5% from this nation. It was 45% once. 5%. But social services has gone up, I can't remember, 600% or some 400% or some big number. Just shot way up while industries come down. This has put people out of work. But what they've done is, only in industry, they've transferred the workers from industry to social services. I mean, over a long period of time, there's been a transfer. And statistics show 50% less in industry, several 100% more in social, and because the growth of the company, I mean the country, you know, more jobs of young people coming up, more of them in the social services, there's been a change, and it's been apparent to those who are watching, but not horribly apparent. And the national debt has gone up and up and up and up and up and up and up all during this time. They have spent tremendous sums of money. They've almost bankrupted the Social Security the departments. And then, when President Reagan gets in office, he wants to cut the heavy bureaucratic federal government down, And when he does, there's loss of jobs. And guess who screams across the nations? The Democrats are screaming, when he first came to office, loss of jobs. But nothing was said about the loss of industrial jobs for 15 years, bringing our nation to this place that we're in now, where we can't compete in the world market very well, because they've got the... And then they have... The nations have... industrialists have gone to other nations and built plants and got their cheap labor, and we've just been cutting our own throat all this time. And now, Mondale and his sister gets up and... I don't mean blood sister either. Sister in the faith. And talk about the enormous debt. Now, to pay the debt, now he blasts President Reagan for trying to take money, you know, give money to the rich and take it from the poor. Now, what he means is that, by that, is the Social Security thing, because the liberals have thrown everybody into the pot, you know, whether they're going to school, pregnant, where they've got a husband who's making $60,000 a year, and they don't need a job, but they quit the job, and they got money pouring in. All of this, they're trying to trim out to save the program and not have to raise your taxes all the more. They're trying to trim out, weed out all these people that don't really need the program. And they should be doing more weeding. And to keep from raising taxes and to trim it out and make it more fair for those that exist, this has been interpreted as taking money from the poor and the elderly. And I just read an article the other day, the Democratic Party says Mondale is losing, and what they should be doing, they're advising him, keep hammering, and keep telling the people, the old people, that they're going to get less and less money if Reagan is in office. I mean, it doesn't make any difference what's truth, just whatever will win. Now, you see, what it really amounts to is this. If Mondale gets in office, he says he's going to raise taxes. And to cut the national debt, he's going to do two things. He's going to take money away from our military. This nation has gone 25 years letting the military go, we were like this and Russia was downhill. And under Kennedy, with his McNamara being the henchman, they cut the national military down one-third. They cut it one-third. They didn't hold the line and not build a mall. They cut it down one-third. They also made agreements with Russia, which President Kennedy promised the nation before he became president. He said he promised them in his campaign speech he would never do that. He said, "I will never allow a treaty between Russia and America where we will not continue to build without." electronic black boxes and positive surveillance. I promised the American public. He got into office and did just the opposite. And for 2 years, we quit, and they built and exploded in 1 month more megaton than the United States had in their entire history, although we were way ahead of them previously. And they cut the military one-third, then they held things down for the rest of the period. And when the admiral said, "We want more, we have to have more carriers. Our carriers are 40 years old, and 25 to 40 years old. We've got to have more, we have got to have either more ships or less ocean. We can't do the job we're called on to do." And McNamara said, "You're not going to get any more ships, and in fact, we're going to take some away from you, and you're going to get no nuclear ships. And without nuclear ships, your entire rest of the Navy is bogged down waiting for the slow ships for freighters to come out and refuel them halfway across the ocean. There's no way to win a war. No way to win efficiency. Make all your ships have to depend on meeting places. What happens if they interrupt those meeting places? What happens if they sink the ships bringing the subs? Russia's got subs all across down the Atlantic, a tremendous amount of subs, three times what the United States has. What happens if they sink all those ships before they get there?" And so he wants to take this ability away, and he wants to pay the national debt. Now, what does that mean? That means you take money from the people to pay the national debt. What is the national debt? Money by the people, particularly the rich people. So he's going to take money from the common sector and give it to the rich people to pay the debt. All the time he's saying the president is trying to take money from the rich because he's trying to cut down Social Security. And the public out here who can't think says, oh, if that's going to happen, you know, they do not know what's happening in this country. This country is in trouble because the constant lies that are being told. Now, to tell me a little bit more, and I have to quit, more about this particular legislation that's coming in almost all states, or a number of states. It's called 199B form. And in there's about preaching about, preaching about abortion and capital punishment should be reported. Christian schools will be required to fill out welfare exemption form. Refusal to file this report caused the state to assess taxes on that church. If they could not pay the taxes within 5 years, the state would take over. You fill out this form, and if you refuse to do what they ask and cannot meet all of its requirements, you are taxed. And all of a sudden, if you can't pay those huge taxes, within 5 years, if you can barely keep up with your living or your expenses and can't pay it within 5 years, they will take it away from you. And you know, the Baptist Church has 28 million people in it in America. It's more than that now. It's a big factor. And but Baptists have typically lots of tiny churches. They got some huge ones too, enormous ones in America. But got lots of little ones. At all the rest of fundamentalist churches, little churches all across, they can start taking those away one by one. And where they don't go to is the Methodist, little Methodist churches, that type of thing, because they comply. They agree with the humanistic things. It's the fundamentalists that don't, so the fundamental churches are the ones that are going to take away the churches and give them to the state. See, we have a very insidious thing happening in America. And God's people had better start praying. The devil is waiting to destroy this nation. Now, I have to make a few announcements before we break. The food management class announced for Monday night will not be held this Monday, so all parents may be able to attend the parent-teacher fellowship meeting. I have a number of announcements. I'll make them quickly as I can. There was a sweet brother in this assembly, and he may be here this morning, and he may not, but I've been kind of worried about him. And when we're dancing before the Lord downhill, this sweet fella was always kind of dancing along the edges with a smile on his face, you know. And I haven't seen him recently, and he may be here, maybe right out there. I hope he is. But we haven't seen him recently, and I told him one time, I said, just go ahead and feel free to dance. And his name is not on this list, and so he might have just said, well, they don't want me to, but I've told him to, and he might have thought maybe I just met once. I kind of miss him, and I thought he was a blessing here. And if he's here, I want him to come up and after the assembly and let me know. And if he isn't, I want somebody, if you know his name, please, and so if let me know. Now, once in this chapel, not too long ago, we prayed. We had a real good prayer session before every service. In here and behind and up in some rooms. And it has... Recently, it's been replaced by a lot of dancing upstairs and downhill before services. And basically, it has resulted, we've had good results because people were typically in a place, not completely, of course, so in a place where there was just a lot of struggling to try to get through the flesh, the world, and the devil. And self-condemnation, you know, self-hate and so forth. The devil has really been pushing the assembly hard. And so it's released faith. It's put a different flavor. It's put a praise and a love and a joy. And it's transferred a, oh, Lord, forgive me again. Help me, Jesus, to thank you, Lord. And there's been a good thing happen because of it. It really has. It's been for many, many people, have been real good. Now, but those that are not dancing upstairs, down here before services, typically are visiting before services instead of praying. Now, it's nice to visit. No, I'm not against visiting. But I have to admit, I'm all for praying. I really feel we should pray for our services. We either should be loving the Lord or praying for them. We really should be. And we really should do, as a lot of you, is decide to, you know, save your seat and go into the prayer area and have prayer back there and dancing out here and up there. This is what I'd like to see in the church. I do not like to see this church go into a non-prayer situation. We have always held, other churches typically across America do not pray before services. They do not pray before or after. We have always prayed before and after. Now that we've done this, many people who don't do this have fallen back to just talking. And I realize we're growing and growing. And the problem is, when you grow, you get people in who've never prayed. And when they're not seeing people pray, they keep on not praying. And pretty soon, Community Chapel becomes a non-praying church. A non-praying church turns into a playing church. It turns into a dead church. It turns into a carnal church. We have got to be a praying and praising church. We've got to pray, praise, and teach. And we don't want people who are without a solid prayer life to lose what little prayer they had at service times either. Now, we've got people praying hours and hours every week. But we've got people that are perhaps not having a good prayer life. Don't throw it away. Take time to pray, folks. Take time to pray. Now, if your pastor is worth anything, if I really am a pastor, if I really am a shepherd, if it really means anything to heal the shepherd, if you really are committed to your shepherd, if a shepherd is really a shepherd, if the Bible really means what it says, to obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for the souls, then you don't take what you feel like, what's easiest, what takes least energy. It takes energy to pray. The flesh doesn't particularly love it. But the spirit needs it desperately. Folks, you need it. I'm asking you to do it. If a person can't come and pray a little while, we're in bad shape. We're in bad shape. We need a powerful prayer pre-service plus an anointing dancing praise pre-service. Now, to all of those who prophesy and interpret tongues and give word of knowledge, please think. Please follow principles. Do not prophesy beyond the faith of the church. Don't prophesy things that is beyond what we preach. That's according to the scriptures. We're talking about do not prophesy beyond the faith. And that means any other form of giving up beyond the faith of the assembly. I don't have time to give you the training for that now. We've given it before. Try the spirits. God will not expose a person's sins, weaknesses, and trials, and so forth at his wedding. And when you get up and begin to prophesy about those problems and those sins and this, and you've had rough times, and it's going to be rough in the days of the head, and the Antichrist shall come, and behold us, saith the Lord, I don't believe a word of it. It doesn't sound like my Lord at all. God hides our failings and is careful to work privately and in sessions when we are open before those who have given themselves to us in prayer and deliverance for help and for correction. He doesn't publicly come out and, you know, and that isn't the kind of God we have according to scriptures and according to all history of it. Don't bind demons for 3 months. If you've got power to bind them for 3 months, bind them for 30 years. Give us time to get out of here. See, that's playing God. Yes. I said, well, I'll give him 3 months release, and then I'm going to let the devil come back on me. You're not God. Right. Our job is to get rid of the devil as fully and completely and as permanently as possible at all times. God does not give feelings to prophesy from. God gives certain knowledge. Don't deal with demons on the basis of your emotions, but rather on the basis of our position in God and their power. Power is allowed by God. Don't deal on them because you're mad at them. You're going to tell them a few things. Don't fight carnally with the devil. You deal on the authority of the word of God and because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary, and you're right as the Son of God, and not because you'll get feisty with them. Don't get carnal with them. You're going to be in trouble. Quit guessing. Congregation, those that are affected. Now, this isn't everybody, of course. Quit guessing. and talking out of your own mind and your own spirit and your own feelings. Let me give you a hint that will help you. Be cautious and careful. Slow to speak. Now, if you'll do what I tell you, we'll have less problems. Wait before God and allow Him to work deeply and with certainty before speaking. There's too much off-the-cuff speaking when you feel or think something. This, you feel something and you say it. Think something, you say it. You know, the Lord just told me, be careful of that. What we should be doing when you're praying for people is waiting on the Lord. Don't try to get revelation from them. Do not hunt for revelation. Feel no obligation to tell them anything. Come before them and pray for them. And pray and wait upon God. And when you begin, things begin happening, don't blurt it out. Let it deepen. Keep praying. Keep waiting on God. Let Him build other things. And let things all build and build and come in and cement and add together. And let God do it until you're in the Spirit and you feel the anointing and things are happening and it's building to a place where you, all of a sudden, you don't just feel something. You know and you know that you know. And then you know He wants you to give it. And then you give it. And you'll have a much better chance of having it be from the Lord. This off-the-cuff stuff is happening too fast everywhere. All the excitement, where people want to be excited and this, and me too, and this. For mass hysteria, we don't need. And mass excitement, we don't need. We need spiritual excitement coming from the real move of the Spirit that really does things. Now, demons are anxious to discredit you and the chapel. So be careful. Qualify. And we need to qualify. See, after a while, all you need is just a few of these hell-brained things that come from the devil and not thinking and from your own mind. And pretty soon, your credibility is going to be such that people are saying, well, I don't want them to pray for me because they were way off. I mean, you know, did you tell them? Well, no, I didn't because, you know, I didn't, really couldn't do that. But I don't want them to pray for me anymore. Pretty soon, this is going to turn around, and it's going to begin cutting you off. We need to be careful. Qualify to avoid hurts. If a person says, well, you know, I just saw your heart all grown over with weeds. Do you know what that does to them? Demon forces can come in and work on that heart. That's not the condition of your heart motive. It's unqualified. The devil can then have opportunity to tell the person how bad the heart is and how hopeless it is. See? Your heart's all grown up with weeds. And all the time I've been loving the Lord and making decisions and dying to the flesh, and it's all grown up with weeds. Totally devastated. They took 8 years. They had self-hate, hopelessness, despair, discouragement, and self-condemnation. For 3 months they have been out of it rejoicing, and now the whole heart is grown over with weeds. Now what do they do? Make a distinction between what God shows you and then give it with qualifications. And what you visualize, don't give that. Don't give what you visualize, because that didn't come from God. That came from your mind. That was you visualizing. Do not put visualizations in the same bag as visions from God. They are not. Now, I have said that maybe rather toughly, but you know that I love you, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but I'm trying to say, help! Hear me! The tape from the elders' retreat, where the pastor did some teaching during that time, is ready for checkout for those that want to hear it. And I've got one more. In the October 21st bulletin, there was a sentence which reads as follows, a conservative Christian woman should not be wearing jeans or manly trousers and masculine shirt. By jeans, what is meant? Are you saying never to wear any type of blue jeans? Do you have a certain, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth? Now, unfortunately, this particular sentence, it was about a sentence and a half though, that was altered from what I wrote. I was on vacation when it was edited. It didn't come out really the way I wanted to say it, although the people responsible for editing it tried their best to reflect what they thought I was saying. Now, let me give you quickly the heart of the matter. What I feel is this. I feel that this nation, and I've been watching it for a long time, and I got a file that thick on fads and fashions that are coming up next, and they're already here in some respects. And I've been watching it for years, and my children were there. I told my wife, I said, now you watch. This will happen. Several times I told them that, and when nobody else could see a problem, I saw it. And it's been happening exactly like I said for 15 years or 20 or longer, about 25 years, I guess. About 25 years it's been going just like I said it would. Now, I've had some horrible surprises recently, and some of these things much worse than I ever expected. But, I mean, the trend has been going along that way. I feel that, this is my judgment, you know, I'm not asking everybody to have the same standards or idea as me. I don't think anybody, there's nobody can get up here and give all your standards and have everybody agree with it. Nobody. But what I feel is this. Women need to dress as feminine as possible, and men need to dress as masculine as possible, and not confuse the sexes. Our clothing designers are purposely trying to confuse the sexes, and they also are trying, because they're full of demons, they are trying to disharmonize the human race in every form imaginable, including hairs, makeup, clothes, and everything there is. And so, don't be a part of the color disharmony. Don't be a part of the faded culture. Don't be a part of the earth tone muds clay culture. Take pretty colors, lovely colors, harmonious colors, things that go together. Wear clothes that fit. Don't wear these enormous oversized coats and real ultra tight things. Wear clothes that fit. Wear things that make you bear in mind space relationship. These fads go and come, and as soon as the fad's over, they all turn around and ridicule the fads they just got through bragging on. That's what the world does. Recognize there are certain things that make you look better and certain things that don't, regardless of what the demons are doing and the world is doing. Wear things that make you look neat, dressed up, feminine or masculine as the case may be. There's no totem quids. And, therefore, just because you're living in a culture where women are wearing men's pants all the time, I think women should move out of that culture. You see, but I just feel so at home in that. That's the problem. Because you feel more at home in men's clothes, you need to push yourself to wear the feminine clothes that you can't equate with so much. Of course, you need to go to deliverance. So you feel the part that God made you. Now, in my judgment, if you're out hunting, hiking, fishing, scrubbing floors, working and straightening the garage out in the garden weeding, you want to wear tough clothes like jeans, fine, I have no problem with that. You're out in the farm, so I don't have any problem with that. Some people might, but I don't. That is not a problem with me. But to be padding all around the bon marché and the malls, all up and downtown, living your life out here in jeans, see, jeans are not near as masculine as feminine slacks. They're just not. Honestly, they're not. They fit you a little different than a man because you're built a little different than a man. And so I'm saying that jeans fit ladies. In other words, it isn't like, well, these are feminine because they look different. They're kind of the same as men's jeans. You know, they're pretty much like men's jeans. They fit you different because your hips are different and your legs are thinner and they're tailored a little different. And so they look a little more feminine. And they may be slightly different, but they've already moved the zippers from the sides and the backs to the fronts, and they don't look an awful lot different. But wear your jeans as feminine as possible, feminine type as you can get them. Don't wear them in the general roll around. I think that Community Chapel has an image to uphold. And I think women have an image to uphold and a straight thinking. If we allow fashions to dictate our lives, we're going to be in a mess. So when you wear slacks, wear feminine slacks. If you've got something against feminine slacks, I think you've got a problem. If you're a woman, I think you've got a problem. So don't wear jeans all the time. Wear them when you need rough clothes. Then wear feminine slacks. Wear dresses and skirts as much as possible. Get used to them. They're for you. And don't wear sloppy clothes and clods and tents. And I mean, look like a woman. Trim and neat, you know, fairly feminine. Dress up a little bit. See, jeans are really kind of the Wild West. This isn't the Wild West. We're in a city, you know. That's what I'm trying to say. And these cords that I have seen, now some of you have to forgive me, but if feminine cords, somebody says, well, would it help if I wore cords? I said, oh, cords. I mean, women wearing these sloppy, baggy cords, they look worse than jeans. They look like men's pants. They look like a woman trying to wear a man's pants, and she doesn't look like a man. She looks terrible in them. That's my... Now, if you have capris or something, that's different. If you got a feminine cut and style, that's different. But I guess I still equate cords with boys. And they grow up, and then men wear slacks and don't wear cords anymore. That's how I think. I'd like to see the church grow up a little bit, be feminine, come to church dressed up. Out here, be dressed up. I don't mind people out in the sun, you know, with a little sun clothes on. I don't mind people... But I think we ought to always look neat.
Yeah.
And women should not wear mannish haircuts. Men should not wear feminine haircuts.
Right.
And don't follow the world into all the hip-slinging belts. You know what those hip-slinging belts are? I knew the moment I saw them. That's part of the new tough look. The hats come down the hill. You know why? So that makes you tilt your head. So the woman's head's up like this. She got a leather jacket on, slung belt. That's a gunslinger belt. Now, I knew that before I ever saw the other signs. The next thing I saw was little metal blades like this. I knew those were bullets. And the next thing I saw was belts with bullets in them. I took them and handled them myself, picked them up in my hands. The bullets actually come out. They won't fire, but they're bullets. Yeah. Now, I saw Don walking down through this shopping center down here in Babylon over here, Tukwila. A big poster of a movie store, I suppose. And this woman, you probably have seen, it's been hanging up there for ages. She just had nothing on the top of her except two great big huge belts of 30-06 bullets going this way across her. And I suppose that movie, that's where these things come from. They take something like this and then they start producing something because of the movies. That's Babylon out there. And don't you or your children copy it. We've got to hold some form of line or we're going to look like sodomites. You know? And I could not handle a congregation looking like most churches. I could not handle it, I promise you. It would grieve my heart. And I've tried to be as liberal as I can, but I'm vexed day by day in this world. I hate. And out here with four or five different socks on and torn rips and clothes, it is the most horrendous, diabolical, terrible thing that there is. In fact, since I'm on the State of the Union, I'll tell you one more thing. I got a picture at home of a guy with horns, like this, made of hail, his own hail, going way up like this, about that long, heavily waxed and sharp points. Now, this guy works in a Rolls-Royce sales manufacturing in London, and they fired him, naturally, when he came to work that way. He had all kinds of heavy studs and everything on, and this big hair like this, he walked into work one day. They didn't want him selling Rolls-Royce to the elite. He took him to court. Now, this is how bad things are. The Rolls-Royce company knew they didn't stand a ghost of a chance of saying, well, we feel we ought to have some standards in our plant. We've got top wealthy people coming in. They don't want to buy a Rolls-Royce from some idiot like this. You know? There's got to be some standards. Are we forced to hire guys with carrots coming out of their ears? Little merry-go-round sitting up here, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you know? I mean, there's got to be some kind of standards. You can't have anything goes. They knew better. They knew they wouldn't win. The only hope was, they pleaded, these things might injure the eyes of the employees. And the judge upheld the Rolls-Royce company. I think he had enough common sense up here, looking at his own eyes, that he realized they probably wouldn't injure but his eyes, but who wants them in the Rolls-Royce plant? I mean, they got a right, see. We're getting to a bad place in this country. We need not to follow them. Now, one more thing. You see, your church really should be a better place to start your fashions from than Cosmopolitan magazine. The world should not be your aim. So, God bless you. I love you. Taking a lot longer than I expected. 10-minute break, and then morning worship service.